Static. Noise. That's all we hear, or so it seems. Where would you go? What would you pay to hear the truth? Good news. It's free and nearby. The Bible is God's truth. At the Escondido United Reformed Church, Chris Gordon preaches Christ the truth from God's Word every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, 760-745-1679, EURC. Announcing to everyone that Jesus is Lord and Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Your mind to it, you can accomplish anything. Listen to your heart. Follow your heart. Don't let anyone tell you that you can't do something. That is the thought of our culture today. And have you ever thought about how the Lord hears those things and receives those things? It's the lie of the pit of hell. It's the lie of Genesis 3, that you can be your own God, control your destiny, and if you put your mind to it, you can do anything. Dear listener, we're not God. We didn't create. Our hearts are not good. Anyone who tells you to look inward for that little piece of goodness in you is a false prophet. God tells us his answer in the cross. God says you have to look outside of yourself to find somebody else who is good. God tells you you don't control much of anything in your life, your times, your boundaries, where you dwell, the days that are even given to you are numbered. God has all of that in his sovereign plan. And if you're a believer today, that's the most comforting truth. He does have the whole world in his hand. He's ruling supreme as king, and every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you do that today, well, then that will be the most exciting truth because you have nothing to fear. The one who holds your life is for you and not against you. If you've turned from him and are trying to be your own God, what a tragedy that the one who holds your life you have turned away from and rebelled against. And that's the purpose of Abounding Grace Radio. It's to call people back to Jesus to find life, hope, happiness, righteousness, and justification before God. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Do visit us on the web at agradio.org. Again, the web address is agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. Download the app to take Abounding Grace Radio with you wherever you go. So much available to you. And we have gone to a lot of work. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're able to support Abounding Grace Radio, if it's been a blessing to you, do please help us to continue to get out these messages to the masses. We're planning to expand if we're able. And if you've been blessed from this, maybe there's somebody else who needs to be blessed from this. And you can be a help to us in this project. We can't do it without you. Thanks for your prayerful and your financial support. There's many ways you can call us or right on there online. Support us to keep Abounding Grace Radio going out. So thanks for tuning in today. Here is part two of the message that we started yesterday, the third plague in Exodus, which I have titled, Of Lice and Men. And I hope we see how control the Lord is over our lives and that we bow to him as King Supreme and enjoy his gracious rule over our lives. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Now, probably what matters the most is that Pharaoh was given the responsibility to preserve the goddess's principle of Maat. Maat was the force of the harmony in the universe. In other words, it was the belief that Pharaoh and Geb controlled stability. He controlled order in the earth. It was a principle to the ancient Egyptians. Maat, everlasting and powerful, bound everything together in order. Maat established truth, right, justice, world order, stability, continuity. Maat represents, and I quote, harmony and unending cycles, Nile flooding, and the king of Egypt
preserved it. There was a principle of chaos, they believed, called Ist. Ma'at was crediting with defeating the principle of chaos. They've uncovered a document called the Prophecy of Nefertiti, which says, when kings reign in Egypt, then order will come to its place, and chaos will be driven out. If he failed, the Pharaoh, then they believe Egypt would return back to chaos and be destroyed. Now that's relevant. That's really relevant for this. They believe they could control the universe. You understand that? They were desperately trying to control creation for their glory. All chaos, they believe they could control. They were desperately trying to control order and universe to keep everything in balance, harmony, and promote their fulfilled happiness and their bodies, cleanliness. Everything was to be perfect. Everything for the maintenance of a happy, fulfilled, prosperous, healthy life in Egypt. Does any of this sound familiar? They were obsessed with this. We know this. What is one of the greatest threats to our happiness? Disorder. Disorder in the universe. This is an obsession in our day. We're all trying to maintain Ma'at, the principle of it, with a great desire that we would have a platform to fulfill happiness and contribute to the common good. I couldn't believe the other day, and I mean this, I couldn't believe the other day that I read somebody who is trying to live the principle of Ma'at. And she used the term Ma'at. Personally, she says, I see living in Ma'at as trying to keep everything in balance in my life. Tell me if this sounds any bit familiar. I see it as being true to myself. I see it as the ability to make a compromise in a particular situation, just so everyone's happy and content. Let me give you just a bit of, and I'm not assaulting here the desire and right desire for order. I'm not assaulting the right desire for things to be calm and peaceful. We all want that. We all really want that. I want that for my children. I want a society that's that. But I'm going after spirit. Here's the spirit. That's what most Americans want. For all of us in this chamber to focus on their lives, their hopes, their aspirations. This is the America we want for our kids. A rising America where honest work is plentiful and communities are strong, where prosperity is widely shared. An opportunity for us lets us go as far as our dreams and toil will take us. But if we work together, if we summon what is best in us, with all our feet planted firmly in today, but our eyes cast towards tomorrow, I know it's within our reach. The common good, fulfill your dreams, it's all within our reach. Ma'at, we can achieve it. I want to say to the young people, because I hear it all the time, don't buy into it. Christians are taught to say something entirely different. If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. We will build this or that. And this principle so dominates society. In some way, we're all desperately fighting for Ma'at, here and now, the glory now. We're trying to control the order of things to maintain our happiness. Egyptians were obsessed with this. It's hedonism. You see what God was doing here now. All of a sudden, he sends upon them lice. He unleashed creation back on them. It was confronting, and he was confronting their basic understanding of who controlled the world. We don't control the world. He was confronting their basic understanding of who keeps the universe in order, who lets the oceans and assigns to the oceans their bounds so that they can't go further. Who does that? They say that a volcano, when it erupts, releases thousands of cubic feet of greenhouse gases. Over the past 250 years, humans have added just one part of CO2 in 10,000 to the atmosphere. One volcano cough can do this in a day. This would be like a volcano erupting on Earth Day. Oh, wait, it just happened. Calbuco Mountain in Chile erupted on Earth Day and unleashed thousands of tons of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. It's just an example. We're not in control. We're not in control. Their gods were said to keep harmony in the universe, and Pharaoh controlled stability as their leader. And isn't it something that the Lord has control over all creation? That in a minute, in just a finger, he can reverse things and pull out the carpet from under our paper palace, and it falls. Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? Who determines our days, when we live, where we go, the boundaries of our dwellings? You know, even Acts says, the boundaries of where you live, you don't decide. Your life and your days are all numbered. You don't have control of much of anything. Creation was an entire polemic against these gods. Did you know that? That's why creation is read so incorrectly today. We want to make it a debate about days and things, and you just wreck the beauty of it. It's a polemic against all the false gods saying, your God made these things, and it should lead you in the Psalms to the praise of his name. Your God formed, your God fashioned, your God made these things, your God spoke and it was, your God gave you life. Your God. The Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, who loves you. Your God. The lie of the devil in Genesis 3 was you can be your own and you can fulfill your great determinations for yourself and be your own God. Here comes chaos. His people need to be freed because the reality is, here, dear Christians, we have no continuing city. We don't belong here. We got to get out. The lie is that you do have a city here, and Satan will give you a glorious one. I found an account of a secular writer that stunned me this week. Listen to this. Once upon a time, there lived a man who wanted to achieve everything he was capable of achieving. He was obsessed with this desire. He ate, slept, walked with one and one only dream: to die having accomplished every single thing he was able to accomplish. There were so many things he could do. He felt like the whole world could be his if only he set his mind to it. He was certain, in fact, he knew that his potential had no limits. Time went by, and he grew older. One day, a sudden chest pain made him come home early. He dragged his feet into the bathroom. There, feeling weak and empty, he looked in the mirror. A worn-out, gray-haired man stared back at him. But his eyes, though red and tired, were still full of unrealized potential. He peered into these eyes and all of a sudden realized one simple truth. The next moment, the pain pierced his heart again, and it stopped. The truth that came upon him was rather simple. People only flatter themselves by thinking they could have achieved this or that if not for such and such circumstances. At any given moment, as long as you've been healthy and haven't been thrown into the midst of war, crime, or forces of nature, you always achieve everything you can. You simply lack something that is necessary for achieving that goal you never reached, a talent, a skill, willpower, a set of priorities, or something else. Like it or not, realize it or not, believe it or not, but you simply lack it. You just think you've got what it takes. And only these insurmountable difficulties have prevented you from reaching the ultimate heights. Here it is. But in reality, what you don't achieve is something you were never capable of achieving. That's tough. A tough pill for the world to swallow. Because they're driven by Ma'at, that idolatry. Now, what's interesting is that for the first time, the magicians realize it. They are powerless to recreate this one. And I don't believe it was recreation, by the way, ever. In verse 18, now the magicians so worked their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice on man and beast. Isn't it interesting which plague puts an end to their enchantments and their magic tricks? Their plague having to do with dust. Dust. God said something about the dust, didn't he? From dust you were taken, to dust you shall return. They, when it came to the dust, can do nothing. God's telling us something. God is telling us that not only do we go back to the dust, but little specks of dust can never fight against God. Have you noticed that they say this, they look at Pharaoh and they say, Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. They just conceded that what they are dealing with is so far above them in power, they can no longer contend with it. They confess whatever they are in the presence of, it's too powerful for them, and Pharaoh, it's his finger. How remarkable they chose the little phrase, finger of God, isn't it? You say, well, what did that mean? What did that mean? What is the finger of God in this context? It's this. Some of them said, he's casting out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Others, testing him, saw it from him a sign from heaven. Give us something. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come on you. There he is in Pharaoh's kingdom. He's marched into his palace, cast down a snake. And he lifts his finger to say one message when we put the whole story together. The kingdom of God just came upon Pharaoh's kingdom. And by that finger, the finger of Christ that day who was there, he lifted his finger and there came the lice. By that finger, all creation is upheld. Do you understand that? Colossians tells us all things were created through Jesus Christ and for him. And he is before all things and him in all things and holds all things together. Do you hear that? The principle of Ma'at is his principle. He holds it. He controls it. He's the one holding the world right now with his finger. But there's even more to this. When Moses received the law of God, and God had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, two tablets of testimony were handed to him. And you know what it said? Israel would have picked this up. They were written with the finger of God. He's the lawgiver. David was so moved by this in Psalm 8 that he says, when I consider the works of your fingers, he says, think about Psalm 8, the stars, all those were your finger you created. And then I think that you gave a law. It's his finger that says what is so. And it's with that finger that he wrote down in the first commandment, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. No other gods. I made it. I command your lives. No other gods. Here was Egypt trying to erect a kingdom of false gods and control the universe. Do you see it? Do you see what the kingdoms of this world do? God says, I want you free. The other night, I read this passage to my children. And I said to him, I said, well, you guys, when you hear the finger of God, what do you think? And my son said, Dad, God could even defeat his enemies with his finger. You got it. You got it. That finger upholds all things. It's that finger that judges all things. And when he wrote his law, he said that he should be your God. If he's not your God, that finger casts into hell. But if he's your God, that finger invites you to come to him and have life and enjoy his preserving care in your lives. You understand that? His preserving care. Our president, our kingdom, the United States can't do that for us. With that finger, he raised up a multitude no man can number, like the dust of the earth, like he promised to Abraham. Dust. I love this. That gives me such perspective in life that Christ has all creation at his disposal to do with it what he wants. And it is absolutely true, boys and girls, you can sing. He's got that whole world in his hand. You were created for his glory. And how much has he loved you? He's not waving that finger in judgment to you today. He's waving that finger and he's turned it, saying, come in kindness. God is pictured here as reversing creation on those who don't believe. But he wants you to know today that that's what this plague is about. And for those who don't have him, that's what the plagues in Revelation tell us. He's doing against those who take a stand against the Lord and against his anointed. Christ is Lord over all. And today, all of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of you, the sons of God, to come in. Where have you put your trust? Who have you bowed to? We don't control Maat. You're not in control of your life. You're not in control of what you're going to do, how successful you're going to be. Don't buy into that lie that if you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything. That stuff is from the pit of hell. Your days are numbered. He determines how many breaths you have. He put a ticker in your chest that'll stop one day. And in the time that you live, he says, come, and I'm going to raise up that body brand new at the new creation and the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness shall dwell forever. I'm going to do that for you. Understand that this suffering, which is but for a moment, is working in us a far more exceeding weight of eternal glory. The sons of God are going to be revealed. The tragedy to this is that Pharaoh, seeing the finger of God, his heart grew hard. I hope no one's heart grows hard hearing this. But that they, seeing the powerful finger of Christ, have turned to him and know him and love him and have come to understand that when you come to him, he says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. What better hands could you ever be in than those?
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in his abounding grace. You can't live the Christian life by yourself. Even the Lone Ranger had a buddy. Jesus founded a community, people with whom to share the Christian faith and the Christian life. One place to find it is in the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, Escondido. Sunday services 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. 760-745-1679. 760-745-1679. On the web, eurc.org. Don't be a Lone Ranger.